What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
All right, dude, did we talk about cheerleaders last time? Male cheerleaders? Did we end up getting to that?
Yeah,
we did. I mean, did we get to that while you had press record?
Yeah.
We did?
We started over.
I don't remember.
Yeah, we did. What do you got today as far as the baseball annoying list?
Oh.
I hadn't even pulled that up yet. Honestly, dude, that's what I was thinking about all day was a Father's Day episode. Then I felt bad that we didn't do a Mother's Day episode.
Yeah.
But our moms are alive, so we can shout them out anytime.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
And so, they might hear.
Yeah. And well, I don't know, man. I don't know if Jackie listens. Maybe. Pending.
I don't even know if my mom knows about your podcast.
I would love it if my mom listened, but I mean, I'm not mad if she doesn't.
That's
because
fair.
Because we talk about some questionable subjects every once in a while.
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of push it away.
All right, so what do we want to talk about? Things that ruin the game experience, or we want to talk about different rules and stuff? What do you want to talk about? Let's talk about the fan experience. What ruins the fan experience?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I'm not ready yet.
Huh?
I'm not ready yet.
You're not ready yet?
I want you to surprise me
once
we actually get going.
Oh, we haven't got going yet?
We haven't got going yet.
Oh, okay.
But are you ready?
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready to go.
All right, dude, let's go.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Highly Apologetic Podcast. I'm your host, Adam. This is your other host, Josh.
Hey, yo.
How's it going? All right, dude. So, it's been a couple of weeks since we recorded.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to be back.
It's going to be another couple weeks.
Yeah, it is. But
next week, I'll be out of town for like 10 days.
Where are you going? Are you going to Florida?
Starting Friday or Saturday or something like that.
To Florida.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, that'll work, but I'm going to start posting these episodes now that we have. I think this will be 3.
Mm.
But I'm going to post this one first, I think.
This one?
This one.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Listen, don't.
I love that you are saying it in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, they're going to be like, oh, this is the third one.
This is the third.
But it's the first one.
But it's going to be the first one released.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, people are going to get confused.
Yeah. Oh, which episode I'm on? 3-4-1?
It doesn't matter. If they want to start a podcast and do it their own way, they're more than welcome to.
That's true.
And I don't have to critique or anything, but I might. But then I probably won't because I probably won't care that much.
Red circle.
I barely care about this podcast enough to critique it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to start. I think I'm gonna do that. Let this episode go Sunday and then do all the other ones either Monday, Tuesday. Because I want to talk about fathers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyways, fan experience, baseball that we hate.
Okay.
I hate going to a game and fans ruining my whole vibe
in
a game that I paid money for.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's a whole list. So give me one.
Okay, so the stand in the aisle and finish the conversation.
Okay. You had me at stand in the aisle.
Okay.
But
if you're standing in the aisle because there's someone else walking up and they spilt something and they're standing in the aisle because there's an obstruction.
Right.
That's one thing.
Okay, I get that.
If there's 100 people going down the aisle and they're standing in the aisle, that's one thing.
Right.
But this guy or girl, whomever, has walked out of the aisle, in like out of their seat aisle, up into the stairs aisle.
Right.
And is just stopped finishing the conversation 10 seats down with whoever they started their conversation with.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, put a pin in it.
Yeah.
And come on back with whatever it is you're drinking, eating, whatever you bought.
Go get your beer and your dog.
Yeah. Where were we?
Come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But stand in the aisle and finishing the conversation.
Yeah.
Which also means they're talking over people, they're talking at a pretty loud volume, and it only affects you if you're near them, right?
Right.
If you're like 20 rows up, it's not that big a deal.
So here's my beef with it, okay? And this is the big portion of the beef is when you and I go to games together, we always buy an aisle seat.
Oh, yeah.
One of us is sitting on the aisle.
Oh, yeah.
So they're having this conversation.
Over you or right beside
right
you.
Right here.
Yep.
Talking this way.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Related, I think these two hold hands.
Okay.
But the fan who buys the seats in the middle, who get up every half inning.
Oh, yeah.
Cannot stand that.
Not even in the half inning.
You just got back to your seat.
Yeah.
And you are up again, making yep. me get up.
Yep.
Because you and I are not small men. We are generally large men in comparison to probably the average human being.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to get up, at least stand up.
Yeah.
I will move if I'm on the edge seat into the stairs.
Me too.
But if I'm doing that every inning, every half inning, for the same people every time, like, brother, you just got back with a dog and a beer.
Yeah.
What could you possibly be going to get now?
It makes it even worse if they go middle at bat.
Oh, yeah.
So
absolutely.
I'm here for the game. If it's between innings, I can kind of get past it. If it's every half inning, it starts to get super annoying. My biggest problem with that one is that they say sorry.
Every time.
And after the first one or two, okay. After the sixth or seventh one, I will voice, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You've done this eight times.
That's not true.
Since the last sorry.
Don't say it if you don't mean it.
Another
Seriously.
One. Another one that holds hands with these two.
Mm-hmm.
Is middle of an inning, middle of an at bat.
Yeah,
the beer vendor kneeling down next to me. Hey, can you pass this down 17 seats?
Okay.
And so we're passing beers and drinks down seven.
Yeah.
And then we had to pass the card.
Yep.
And then we had to pass the card and the receipt back.
Uh huh. Yeah, you do.
That is annoying.
If you don't pass the card and the receipt, you're a thief, right?
Yeah. So I mean, hey, listen. So it depends on who it is. If you've made me get up out of my seat 17 times
yep.
in 3.5 innings, I might steal your card and run out. At this point, I'm going to go buy a ticket to another game.
Yeah.
On your dime because okay. you have ruined this game.
Okay.
Me.
So here's another one akin to all these. I mean, these are all
just all hold
all bedfellows right
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
The make people move from another row, so they climbed over seats to walk in front of you.
Yeah.
So they didn't make their own row stand up for them. They made another row stand up for them.
Right.
So if I'm on row 10, somebody from row 8 or 9 climbs up to row 10 and makes me move for them. That's annoying.
I think at that point, I'm just going to sit down and you can climb up the next row.
Give me one more row, big dog.
Yeah, you got empty seats behind me,
yep,
brother.
Yep. If you're going to, I mean, you might as well climb up all the way until right. you get to the concourse.
Get to the concourse.
I'm just saying.
No, 1,000%. Brother.
Dude,
the oblivious to the world crowd makes me so mad.
Yep,
it extends further than the ballpark.
It does.
The grocery store is the worst when people will be in front of you, and they know you're behind them, and they stop right in the middle, not to the right, not to the left. They stop right in the middle where you cannot get your buggy. One way or the other around them, just oblivious to the world.
Yep. No self-awareness, no
it is
nothing going on.
Right. It is their world, and we're just living in it.
Yep.
I hate that. It extends throughout life. But
all right.
Okay.
So let's keep it on the baseball train for just a little bit.
Okay.
We'll get to that main crux that you want to talk about in just a little bit. What are some of the things now that are ruining the purity of the game?
Ruining, like, as a fan standpoint, like fans ruining it, or just in general?
I would say just in general. Now, for me, it's both in general and from the fan standpoint.
Man, so I don't want to sound like an old head or a boomer just hates the game type thing.
Mm-hmm. I kind of want you to, because that's when the game was at its best.
Okay, so I'll use a specific team the University of Tennessee baseball team.
Okay.
They are by far the biggest douches in the nation.
Okay.
As far as their behavior goes, they are, and the nation is, the other schools around the country are kind of picking up on it and doing the same thing. When you get a strikeout, you're hollering and cussing and, you know, ready to fight the batter you just struck out, and he's just walking back to his,
right,
you know, or you hit a home run.
Okay, you got me.
Yeah. You hit a home run, you pimp it. Cool. Uh-huh. Pimp your home run. I love a good home run pimping. Mm-hmm. I love a good bat flip.
Okay.
I'm more of a bat slam guy now.
Yeah, slam it down.
Slam the bat down.
Yeah, let it flip on its own because you slammed it right.
Fan.
Yeah.
But then run the bases. You don't have to be in the face of the first baseman, uh-huh, and then the second baseman, and then the shortstop, and then the third baseman, and then you do something stupid around third base where you're taunting and doing all the whatevers to the dugout, the opposing dugout. Then you get home and you wonder why catcher's ready to fight you.
Yeah,
like Tennessee is the worst.
Okay,
but when you do it back to them,
yeah,
the crying that goes on about it.
Okay. So what you're saying is things that ruin the. Okay, so you're talking about just. I mean, is this ruining the purity of the game, or is this ruining your desire to be watching the games?
Yeah, maybe the latter.
Okay.
The purity of the game.
Dude, there's some things on the purity of the game that's just killing me right now.
Okay, tell me.
Like focusing on the extremes.
Okay.
Focusing on the strikeout. Focusing on the. The home run.
Right.
Focusing on the extremes, the things that aren't supposed to happen with regularity.
Right.
And you said that in your project one time.
Right.
The walk-off home run.
Right.
There's two runners on, you're down by three, and then the announcer says, with one swing of the bat, he could tie the game up.
Right.
Right? Well, duh.
Yeah.
Of course he could.
I know all announcers are like this, but I live in Texas. But Tom Grieve was the worst at that. I hated watching.
Dave Raymond is might be even worse than Tom Grieve.
Yeah, when I would watch Ranger games,
I didn't mind Tom Grieve from a former player standpoint. He had pretty decent perspectives,
right,
on what the players go through or what they might go through. But when it came to Homer, when it came to fan Homer, like, I really want this to happen.
Right.
Yeah. But he also had Josh Lewin that he was with for a long time,
right,
who is garbage.
Right.
Absolute garbage.
I hate, and this will go to all sports, but I hate regional broadcasts. I hate the Homer aspect of a regional broadcast.
Okay.
Just as an example of what I'm talking about, I can't watch a Spurs game not on mute. I cannot stand listening to Sean Elliott.
Oh, okay.
I can't. It's just the Homer in it. And I get it. He played for the Spurs for years. Legend in San Antonio.
Okay, so we're talking about people that aren't like the Bob Uecker and the guys who called the game the way the game should have been called.
Right.
They may still been a fan of the teams that they were calling for.
Right.
But they made the announcing what announcing should be.
Right. Minus, yeah, just it's the extreme. I get it. It's a regional broadcast, and the bias is supposed to be there. You're supposed to cheer for that team or announce and give analysis in favor of the team you are working for,
yep,
employed by, but I still, the extreme, just like, you know, we mentioned just a second ago, the bottom of the eighth or bottom of the ninth, 2-1, down by two, and I feel it. There's a home run coming, and we're about to see magic.
All right.
You know, he's due for one.
Of course he is.
I can't stand it.
How? Why would he not be due for one?
Right.
Right, he hadn't hit one in... who cares?
What makes us baseball fans is enjoying the moments that are not supposed to happen.
Yeah. But they do.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what makes a boring sport so exciting.
Yeah.
Baseball is boring.
Yeah, yeah.
When people say that baseball is boring, there's no conversation. It is.
Yeah, you're right.
There it is. Are they doing things to make it more interesting? They're trying. The pitch clock is stupid. All the things that are trying to speed up the game and get more excitement packed.
You're adding on to some stuff that's ruining the purity of the game.
Am I?
Yeah. The pitch clock?
Yeah.
Ruins the purity of this game.
Horrible. You can only throw over to first one time.
Twice.
Well, twice.
Yeah.
Or
you can do it a third time, but you got to get them out.
Right.
Or it's a balk.
Right.
That's horrible. Now, I did see a time where like a Cardinals pitcher or a Phillies pitcher threw 17 times during a single at bat, and I think he did it consecutively.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, this guy on first was a notorious base stealer, one of the best in the league at the time. He's trying to get him.
Right.
Right? I mean, he's a threat. But, okay, I can understand limiting that to a point.
Right.
Right, but...
But to say a pitcher can only throw over two times before it's a you have to get them out or a balk ruins what the game is supposed to be.
Yep.
One of my favorite things, you know, when I was in the early 2000s when Socha was the coach of the Angels, was he played old school small ball.
Yep.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And we mentioned that we are so focused now on the home run, the strikeout, the big exciting play.
Yep.
Small ball is not exciting, but it's effective. I'm going to get a guy on second. Guy hits a double. I'm going to move him to third base. I don't care who's up to bat. I'm going to move him to third base by bunting the ball.
Yep.
It's not fun to watch.
Nope.
But it's baseball.
But it's great when it happens and you win.
Right.
Because of it.
Okay, let me ask you this in regards to kind of what we've been talking about, okay? So would you rather see... Okay, let me ask you this way. What's the most exciting play in baseball to you?
The most exciting play in baseball?
The most exciting play. Diving catch, a triple play, the cycle. And the cycle is going to be most amazing plays.
Series of plays, yeah. It would be hard for me to pick the perfect game for the pitcher, or the stealing of home.
Okay.
It'd be hard for me to pick between those two.
Okay.
The stealing of home is the most exciting individual play.
Yes.
I think that exists. The walk-off home run, not just the walk-off base hit. The walk-off home run is probably second to it in terms of singular play.
Right.
But singular player's accomplishment, I think a perfect game.
Right. Because you're not walking up to a plate and telling a guy in the ninth inning, as the tying run or the go-ahead run in the ninth inning, hey, go out there and the play is for you to hit a home run.
Yeah.
You're not doing that.
Right.
Whereas in football, there's 2 seconds left on the 40-yard line and you're heaving one up to the end zone.
Yep.
That's the play call.
Yep.
You're not looking for some kind of miracle of being able to throw it 10 yards, swinging ladder, pitch it a few times. You're just throwing it. That's the play.
Well, I mean, baseball is like the only sport where the offense doesn't have control of the ball.
Right. And that's what I love too.
Defense controls the ball.
You have to get all three outs.
Yep.
Of all 9 innings, and sometimes a 9-run lead's not safe in the ninth.
That's right. Football, basketball, hockey.
You could run the clock out.
You have the ball, you're on offense.
Right.
You do with the ball what you want to do. In baseball, it's the opposite.
But I will add something to your favorite the most exciting play in baseball, and it's just an extension of what you said. The suicide squeeze.
Oh, dude, it's good.
It is.
It's good.
It is by far when it is executed perfectly, and Socha was so good at it with those Angel teams in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Loved it. That's why I fell in love with baseball the way I did. I loved watching small ball.
Yeah.
Nobody else does.
It's perfect. I saw Jonah Heim bunt to third the other day and get a base hit because they shifted on him.
Right.
And he's a lefty because the pitcher is righty. He's a switch hitter, but
the shift is taken away from the purity of the game.
Absolutely.
And even though they said, okay, now second base cannot be on the shortstop side of...
As soon as a pitcher releases the ball, he can't
running over there.
Right.
Right.
So if you're... if you're trying to understand the purity of the game,
right,
and they shift on you, you bunt against the shift.
Down the opposite line.
And you have a base hit every time.
Right.
Now you got runner on, nobody out, whatever right. the whatever the situation is.
And the fact that we're not practicing bunting down that line, if I was a Major League Baseball coach, that's what I'm – hey, dude, if they shift and you've got third base playing at shortstop,
yeah,
bunt that hoe down the line. Bunt it down the line. I don't care who's on base.
Nope.
But get yourself on base.
Yep.
I don't care.
Why would you not do that?
I don't care if it's a no-hitter or a perfect game going.
Yep. If they shift on you.
But they're not shifting. They're not going to just start shifting at the end of a game.
Correct.
They're
not going to start shifting in the ninth inning of a no-hitter.
Right.
Right. They're shifted to your first at-bat.
First at-bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's no longer a no-hitter, and then they're going to shift again. You can bunt in the ninth inning again.
Right.
If they shift, bunt against it, and they have to play you straight up.
Right. I just don't understand. I talk about these unwritten rules, and that's one of the stupid ones, I think. I love unwritten rules. I love it. You plunk somebody, you're going to plunk somebody back.
Yeah.
Pimp a home run a little too long, you're going to get plunked.
Yep.
You walk across the – you get out at first, and you run across the pitcher's mound, you're going to get plunked the next time. Those are great unwritten rules. But to tell me that I cannot play the game the way that it was designed to be played, I can't bunt just because you're in the shift? No, I'm going to bunt to keep you out of the shift the rest of the game.
Yeah.
We're all going to do it.
Absolutely.
My power hitter is going to be a bunter too.
We're going to have runners on with nobody out. As long as you keep shifting, we're going to have runners on with nobody out, and then a simple fly ball will get a runner in.
Exactly.
A long out.
Right.
A long base hit will get a couple in.
Right.
Like this is what we're going to do, because if you're going to try to shift, we're going to play against you.
Right. And that's the point.
You're shifting against us. We're going to play against that.
Why do I have to play to your advantage and try to squeeze this ball between these two players who are not that far apart from each other?
Yep.
When I can dink and dribble it down the line.
Yeah,
because your catcher's not going to get there every time. Your pitcher's definitely not going to get there to make the throw.
Yep. Well, and this is the other thing. OPS is killing the game too.
Yeah.
OPS is killing the game. On base, great statistic.
Right. On base plus slugging.
Slugging, not that great a statistic.
Who cares?
Yeah. Well, you got third, but you got a couple triples. I mean, come on.
Right. My job, and you know, when I play softball, I'm a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
I should be hitting dingers anytime I contact the ball.
Yeah.
That's not my job. My job is to pitch.
Yeah.
And get on base for the young guys to hit the home runs.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than a solo home run in slow pitch softball.
Especially when you only get two and then the third one's an out.
When you got two or three.
Yeah.
And the league is inning ending.
Yeah.
So whether you've got zero, one, two, or three outs, if you hit that third home run, the inning is over. That's a three-out home run. So my job, and that's what I hate about Major League Baseball. You got somebody like, let's say, Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
What's his job? Hit home runs and play first base.
Yeah.
The guy's a power hitter. Shohei Ohtani, what's his job?
Hit dingers. Pitch whenever he gets healthy.
Right. If I'm the coach... If I'm Dave Roberts, Shohei's going to be a great bunter. So is Mookie Betts. They're all going to bunt. And when I give the signal to bunt, you better bunt.
Yeah.
Or you will be.
My job as a coach is to win the games. To put our team in position to win the game. It's not to. Now, this might be part of the problem with Major League Baseball, because managers seem to be pandering to the ownership and the fans of what they want to see. They want to see the strikeout. They want to see the home run. They want to see the scoreless blah, blah, blahs, and they want to see the 13 strikeout games. They want to see the multi-home run games. They want to see all that stuff.
Right.
But in reality, the stuff that creates those home runs is pressure on the pitcher.
Pressure on the pitcher, yeah.
You put runners on base, the pitcher starts making mistakes because he's now uncomfortable. Uncomfortable pitchers create home runs. How do we not know? How as managers do we not know this?
I don't think it's managers that are the issue pandering to owners. I think it's managers pandering to owners who are now into the analytics. I got a whole analytics department.
Yep. That's true.
That says, hey, in this situation right here,
we should have a lefty-lefty.
Right.
We That's the over-managing ruining of the game.
Right.
Over-managing ruins the game. Because how many times does a pitcher get changed and then they sub a batter?
Right.
Just because, but that batter that they just subbed out was is 2-for-2.
Right.
And then they but he's a righty and the righty's coming in, so we're gonna put a lefty in.
Because I would venture to say that a lot of the managers who work for an organization that has an analytics department, who let their analytics department have a strong voice in the gameplay, they hate them.
Yeah.
And I've actually heard it.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the analytics. baseball or football, but John Gruden.
Okay.
Got an analytics guy, 4th and 2. Percentages say in this situation, I'm this down and da 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 da, this part of the game.
Yeah.
Go for it. And he said, I went for it and we got stuffed and we lost the ball. We lost the game. And I looked at that analytics idiot and told him to get the F off my sideline.
Yeah.
And get away from me.
He gone.
Yeah. He gone. That's the best third strike call out ever.
Man, dude, there's so many things. So many things that ruin the purity of the game. So many things that ruin the fan experience of the game. There's so many things. Getting back to basics. Some gut-wrenching improbable things, some exciting improbable things, unwritten rules. Dude, there's so many things on here that we could keep going forever.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Okay. And this can be a segue into Father's Day. Mm-hmm. By way of it not being one of our fathers, but a father figure that we have grown up with. But the pitch arsenal has gotten so out of hand. I think you go through 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and you've got a fastball, you got a two-seam, a four-seam, a changeup, a curveball, and a slider.
Even still, the curveball slider is like,
is a little.
Why do you need both?
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So now you got a slurve. Now you got a knuckleball. Now you got a
sweeper.
You got a sweeper. Now you got this. Cutter. Now you got that.
You got, yeah.
Right. So
knuckleball.
Right. I think that has ruined the game in regards to look at all the elbow injuries.
Oh yeah.
Based on your arm positioning from your windup to release. And how many people now are having Tommy John surgery in comparison to when all you had was a fastball changeup and either a slider or a curve?
Yeah.
Right? Hate that. Now, here's my question.
Okay.
Okay. Kenny had a 0.86 ERA throughout his career.
Yeah.
In baseball in college.
Yeah. His senior year, he went like 15-1 or something silly.
Impressive.
Yeah.
It's you won't see it anymore from the viewpoint of all the pitches that I have to be able to throw at you, you know. But
I'd be curious to see his inning average per game.
Did you
how many innings did he pitch?
Were you there when? You may have left, but when his college teammates got up and started speaking on the mic right after Randall.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Okay, so his catcher got up and was...
Oh, he was there?
Yeah, it was cool. His name is Stretch. Cool nickname. Super cool nickname, as a matter of fact, Stretch. But said, the guy had a fastball that you didn't need. You didn't need a curveball.
Yeah.
He did it with two pitches. A fastball that moved... And a changeup.
Yeah.
It's impressive. It's impressive to go 15-1 with a .86 ERA.
With two pitches. Yeah.
I don't care if it's in the 70s. Because in the 70s, you're starting to develop the game a little more with all the pitches that you can now...
That's true.
You know, choose to throw from.
That's true.
Anyways, I would have loved to see Kenny pitch like that because... The dude Stretch was like, I played multiple years in the big leagues. Mm. And Kenny with two pitches had the talent to go far in the majors.
Yeah.
You know, and he said no.
Yeah.
Said, don't waste your time because I will not pitch on Wednesdays and Sundays because I'll be at church.
Yeah.
So good for him on that. But still, being able to have a major league player co-sign your talent like that is kind of cool.
It's pretty awesome.
But anyways, did your dad play? Did he play baseball?
Well, he did. He got in a pretty serious car accident when he was like 16.
Okay.
He could not grip the baseball after that car accident.
Okay.
We're talking, there was a girl he was dating or just driving around with. I don't even know.
Uh-huh.
But she was in the passenger seat, and they wrapped a telephone pole, basically.
Hey.
And he was in the hospital a week, couple weeks, you know, not seriously in the hospital.
Yeah.
She was in the hospital for, from what I hear, months.
Mm-hmm.
And with some pretty serious injuries.
Yeah.
And so he said he basically lost the grip on the ball, lost the feeling in his hand or whatever. And he quit high school before this, okay? And he said it's because he hated the coach.
Right.
Well, he gave me a story that his dad said that DBU was scouting him since he was like 12.
Okay.
And so, or something like that. I don't know if it's 12, 10, but they saw him play and they're like, this kid, if he keeps it up, he's coming to school here.
Right.
And so you can't help but think that there was some kind of reason, you know, maybe why the wreck happened and he didn't end up playing baseball. He didn't end up, same thing with Ken. Like, he met Julie. He had his kids. He had his job for however many years.
Right.
Dad had me and my brothers, was with mom for however many years. Does that happen if he goes to DBU or if he goes to some big D1 school,
right,
blows the socks off of some major league? Because my dad would have gone pro had he had the opportunity to go pro.
He would have taken it.
He would have taken it, 100%. Now, because his dad left, right? His dad left his mom. You know, he didn't have money growing up. If he would have had the opportunity for it,
right,
I almost guarantee would have taken it.
So you're of the mindset, you're a believer of like the divine intervention that there is definitely God playing a hand in something like that happening because there is a Carla and a Michael and a Stephen and a Joshua. In Ronnie's future, so we're gonna keep them there instead of letting him, you know, go off.
I think there kind of has to be.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna say that I wouldn't be here if my dad didn't end up with my mother.
Right. You okay? So
you see what I'm saying?
So I've had that conversation with people. If I don't marry Larissa and don't have the opportunity to have, I think you and I may have even had this conversation, we don't have Riley.
Yeah.
Well, we have Riley in a different form.
Right. Riley, like, Riley looks different.
Riley,
he,
yeah.
He has a different name.
Has a different name, right. Has a different mom.
Right.
You know, there is a Riley that is going to be in a different version of what we know Riley to be.
Yeah. But what we do know Riley is now.
Right.
Happened all because of the events that took place in order for Riley to be where Riley is now.
Right.
So, I mean, even the events that brought you out of Garland and Dallas when you were 20.
Right.
Right? That took you back down to San Antonio. Even those little events.
Right.
That, you know, maybe you don't meet Larissa.
Right.
Or meet might be the wrong word, but end up with her because you stayed up here in Dallas for 5 years longer than what you would have in the current circumstances.
Right. Have you ever thought about what your life would be like if, and we're getting away from fathers and that's perfectly fine, but have you ever thought about what your life would be like if you make one specific decision differently than how you made it when you made it?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And how does that go? It's hard for me to do that.
It's hard to do. There's no question.
My best work when I'm thinking about something like this is, and I probably shouldn't say this, but after I smoke some marijuana or something,
okay,
or take a gummy, you know, that's when my best thinking happens. You know, a lot of people say, "Ah, dude, I do my best work on the toilet." Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I do my best work. You know, yeah. Yeah, you're one of them.
Yeah.
I get it. Like you.
Okay. I do some toilet thinking.
Okay, so here's what I need you to do. I need you to go ahead and set up a microphone in the toilet area just to verbalize the thinking.
Okay. Cut out all the background noise.
Yeah, yeah. Cut out the background noise, please.
Okay.
and do a recording there.
Dude, there was one time I recorded a fart while I was on the toilet. I had my phone camera on. Uh-huh. Okay, and I just covered the camera lens.
Right,
and it's, you know, whenever you really push your finger up against a camera lens, it's a red camera.
It's a red screen.
And so I pressed play. I didn't think about the voice memos app or whatever. I just turned on my video camera.
Yeah,
and I recorded a sound of a long fart while I'm on the pot, and it might not have just been a fart, and I sent it, I don't even know who I sent it to, but I sent somebody at school in class. So whenever they pulled it up and started playing, it was like,
okay. Kind of like Adam walking out of work. Would you get that cheese, Danny?
Would you get that cheese, Danny? Yes, yeah, exactly.
That was perfect. So speaking of recording farts, I got a story for you.
Okay.
I had a buddy, I don't think you've met him, but I have a buddy who I've been friends with since fourth or fifth grade. His name's Joel.
Okay.
I think I've told you about Joel many times.
Probably.
He's been a good friend for a long, long time. Well, when we were in Stephenville, we lived in Stephenville. I don't know what grade we were in when we met and started hanging out, but he lived out in the country. I lived in town.
Okay.
I love spending a night out at Joel's house. I would go out there. He'd call me on a Thursday, be like, hey, bring clothes, ride the bus home with me, stay the weekend.
All right. Cool. Yeah.
A lot of times I would be like, well, is your dad going to be there? Because back in the day, his dad was a mean old cuss. And anything that he could yell at me and Joel for, he would.
Okay.
Today, whenever we're hanging out, I'm asking, hey, can Jeff come over? Because he's a funny old man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I like
to now pick. You understand why he's yelling.
Right. But now I, you know, he would pick on us. Now I pick on him because, well, he has Parkinson's.
Okay.
And so to keep his Parkinson's under control, he had to find a hobby, and he took up sewing. Okay. So me, being the jerk I am.
Okay.
Oh, we were at a barbecue at Joel's house one time, mm-hmm. and I was like, dude, I heard you sewing stuff, you big old sissy. He was like, nah, dude, I sew cool stuff. I sewed leather. Like, I'm making holsters and gun pouches and stuff like that. I said, dude, you're sitting at a sewing machine. Doesn't matter what you're sewing, you sissy. You know? But anyways, Joel and I, where was I going with this?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I'm waiting for you to pick it up back up, though. That's pretty good.
I got to think now. I got to think. What were we talking about in the first place? Oh, farts.
You like Joel and recording farts.
Okay, so anyways, Joel had one of those cassette tapes players.
Huh?
The old school ones.
Oh, yeah.
Play them,
oh.
But you could record on them, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. Dude. We would be in his room playing video games or doing whatever, and we would be, like, in the middle of the night, we would wake up and grab that thing and record. We had a whole tape of farts.
Nice.
Well, we told Jeffrey about it, Joel's dad, and he thought we were idiots.
Of course.
Naturally. Yeah. I think if I walked in on Riley and his friends recording farts, or you walked in on Zach and his friends recording farts, you're going to go, dude, what in the world?
Y'all are stupid.
What are y'all doing?
Yeah.
So anyways, middle of the night. And we're kind of rustling around, whatever. Jeff's dad or Joel's dad walks in just as Joel is ripping one into this recorder.
Oh, good.
And he goes, you idiots and these stupid fart tapes. And then turned around and recorded one with us. The best.
Nice.
And it was always fun to, like, rewind it to the beginning and press play and just let them go.
Yeah.
And then try to guess who it was. Some of them you could pick out real good, but some was like, man, I don't remember if that was me or if that was you.
Dude.
I was like, dude, that was a good one, though. Whoever it was.
Hey, getting you back to dad's, okay?
Okay.
I used to try to perfect the recreation of my dad's farts.
Okay.
Okay? Not by actually farting.
But with the mouth.
But with the mouth.
Okay.
And there was a point in time where I was pretty spot on.
Have you seen the videos? You watch Reels on Instagram. Have you seen the videos of Guess My Fart?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Those are awesome videos.
When they get it right?
And when they get it right.
That's pretty awesome.
It's pretty impressive listening to the wife.
Yeah.
Or the girlfriend guess the fart.
Yeah. It's pretty impressive that the girls ask for the guy to guess the fart.
It's impressive that the girls participate.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so when you're in a relationship, not to be gross.
Yeah.
But I would like the girl that I'm seeing or involved with to fart in front of me. That's the ultimate sign of comfort.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm comfortable around you. I'm comfortable enough to rip one right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comfortable enough to, like, if I
lean over to shoot a Nerf gun and let one go.
Yes. Don't be embarrassed about it.
Who
cares? You're comfortable.
Yeah.
We're proud of you.
Yeah. Great job.
Man, I used to date this girl, and she would be at my house or I would be over there, and I would go in to use the bathroom a number dose,
uh-huh.
or probably a number tres. Right. Number three is always in the work, because mm-hmm. pee-pee time is not always poo-poo time, but poo-poo time is always pee-pee time.
Yeah.
So naturally, you skip the two and you go straight to the three. But anyways, I would go in to take my number three, and she would be sitting on the sink outside the door talking to me while I was doing this.
Okay.
And at first, it was weird to me.
It's a little disconcerting sounding.
It is. It was. And I was out, dude, I was in my teens.
Okay.
Early 20s.
Okay.
To where I haven't really figured out life yet or understood what life is going to be.
Yep.
This is new to me, a girl talking to me while I'm having a poo,
mm-hmm.
you know. but it got more comfortable. And it was the point of that was there's nothing more I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but if you're comfortable enough to sit and speak to me
mm-hmm.
and have a conversation to me while I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in.
Dude.
Because that's one thing that we ultimately as men want to do is make the female in the relationship comfortable and safe.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So if you're comfortable enough to fart in front of me and have a conversation while having a three, you get points for that,
dude. I'm gonna tell you, that's one of the things that just really calmed my nerves about, you know, doing life with Lauren.
Okay.
She told me one time, she's like, it just doesn't bother me.
Right.
She said smell and stuff, like, she's gonna react, sure, because who wouldn't if the smell overtakes you?
Right. But you're gonna laugh.
It's gonna be like, wow. The reaction is gonna crazy.
It's gonna be a laugh reaction.
Right. It's gonna be we're gonna have fun with it.
Right.
And so, like, I've been making poop jokes for 5-6 years ever since I was diagnosed with this Crohn's thing, and
right.
And ever since I've been having the bathroom trips I've been having.
Right.
And even still before that, like in the van at the hotel, the big hotel in Grand, I don't even know. It's over by Great Wolf Lodge and stuff. I forget what the name of the hotel is, but it's in the parking lot. And anybody who listens to any of the history of my podcast has heard this story in the van.
Yeah, I remember it.
So, but my point is that she told me it just doesn't bother her. And I'll tell you, that was one of my biggest, I'm not going to say fears, but insecurities.
Right.
Is, would I be able to find someone who would be okay with what I got going on?
Deal with it.
Right, like, if I get to be such an age where I can't clean myself after I'm done, is there going to be somebody that's going to just be like, all right, well, just let's hop in a shit, let's hose you down or whatever. Like, let's right. take care of business. However, we got to take care of business
right.
to make sure you're good. And so, like, I don't have any doubt that she's that person.
Right.
And so it was just a couple days ago, I had to run to the restroom, and that we have a little water closet, right? So our restroom is sinks, shower, and then door to the toilet.
Right.
which I think that should be standard in all houses.
Yeah, absolutely. So that
let me go to the shower and go to the sink and brush my teeth and stuff, and you go into the room, shut the door, do what you got to do.
Right.
Now, the one negative about this is that there is zero air circulation in this water closet. Oh, yeah. So if the hotter it is outside, the longer I stay, the more it becomes a sweat box.
Right.
So, anyways,
be a good way to lose weight.
You could, well, at least one way for sure.
Yeah,
two-way weight loss.
Yeah.
So I'm going, and she's in there doing something at the counter, and she's talking to me, asking me questions, or I'm asking her questions, and then it just goes like just one after the other.
Yeah.
And I'm just like trying not to talk while it's happening, but at the same time, I'm just like, I got these things I got to ask or I got to say or whatever, and I got this thing got to come out. Like,
right.
So, all right, let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty funny. Just the, like, I was expecting a laugh after a couple of things, and she just wasn't laughing.
Yeah.
But she wasn't, like, grossed out either.
But she's used to it.
Yeah.
That's become her life over the past, what, 5 years?
Yeah. Now, she does laugh whenever I'm on the couch, and I just, I trust one.
Oh, we have to.
I trust one, and so, she looks like, golly, dude.
Yeah, one of the more funny things about Crohn's and you is when you do trust a fart.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Yes.
Because I get nervous for you.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Uh-huh.
I've heard you fart.
Yes. They don't sound dry.
No, they're not.
Yeah. Well, no, they are. Some of them.
But they don't sound it.
They don't sound it.
Okay. Yeah. So I get nervous for you every time you trust one.
Yeah.
I get nervous for me.
If I trust one, you shouldn't be nervous.
I've
gone through it enough to where I know whether or not I should trust one.
Brother, that's not the way the brain of somebody who does not have Crohn's works. We're going.
Oh, I understand that. I get that.
We're going to be nervous in the event, here's how my mind works, okay? And you know this is going to be way out of left field.
Happy Father's Day.
But when you are trusting one next to me, all I can picture is just and poo-poo all over the place. You know what I mean? Like, if you...
Like that Jason Sudeikis scene that the girl's on the bathtub, like, she's just crying, she sneezes, and it just all over the wall.
Oh, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah,
So that's my...
I don't even know what movie that is, but...
I'm sure there's a South Park episode, too, with
something like
with,
that.
Yeah, with poo.
I'll tell you what, if you just search Crohn's, you see the horror story pictures.
Oh, no, yeah, that's why I'll never...
That's the first thing I searched whenever I heard what Crohn's was. I searched it and looked at the images or whatever because I thought it would show me something about my intestines.
Dude, I'm sure you're mortified.
I was like, whoa, I hope this doesn't happen to me.
but that's where my mind goes. Like, okay, so you trusted the first one, and now there's going to be a wave of...
A few more.
A few more. Yeah. Now, but is he going to be able to trust those?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be splatter everywhere? And I'm right next to him, and it's going to get on me. And then there's going to be puke everywhere.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get Duke on me. I'm going to have to puke.
Yeah.
I don't know how yours.
That's the classic Duke and puke.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
Duke and puke. But I don't know how your stomach is. I don't know how Lauren's stomach is. But if I see somebody puking, guess what I'm doing?
Oh.
I'm puking.
You're at least dry heaving.
No.
Oh, it's coming out.
Oh, it's coming out.
There's something manifesting.
So if you...
I stepped in a dog turd today.
If you...
I went to the bathroom to wash that thing off. That was gross.
If you give me a legit dry heave, I might puke. The dry heaves that you and I do that one doesn't bother me. But if I know it's real...
Yeah.
I'm like... You know how you just kind of...
Oh, the real ones, you hear the bubbling and
right,
all that stuff.
And now you're,
so the more we talk about it
so
right now...
So now you're swallowing air just to like be able to like keep yourself composed and your puke down.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. The body is weird, man. The body's super weird.
I think that's more the mind.
Is it, would it be the mind?
For you, it's the mind at this point.
Yeah, brother. My mind is a weird
like
place.
You feel just fine, but you hear somebody yakking. And then you start yakking.
Yeah.
That's
a dry heave will send me. Now my nephew Mac is like that too. Mac cannot hear noises.
Yeah, you told me about this.
Mac cannot hear noises and he cannot see
gross things.
Gross things.
Yeah.
Puke and poop and
My girls were little, I worked against me. I could see it, I could smell it, and I could get through it without having any kind of reaction.
Right.
And that was used against me.
How so?
Because their mother would start yakking. And so I had to go clean up the bad stuff. Like if it was a bad diaper, if it was a backed up sink or something, and there was a smell that came from the backed up sink, I had to get through it.
Well, my buddy Mac, he takes it to an extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The puke in and the dry heave and seeing somebody who doesn't flush, I get it.
Yeah.
But when you start dry heaving,
oh, dude,
because your mother is mixing up mac and cheese, and you can't handle that noise,
if
you can't handle it, and you're puking
that's
on
weird.
That.
That's weird.
That is weird.
That's weird.
And so I haven't been around Mac since I found this out enough to put that to the test.
Yes.
However,
next time he's in town.
He will be in town in August.
I would like to be here when you make mac and cheese.
No, there it will be made.
Show him how to make mac and cheese, and I will be in the kitchen with you, blocking an exit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to have to block. We're going to have to find a block from the exit out of the kitchen into this main part, to these bathrooms right here.
Yeah.
And then find somebody else who can block the bathroom in my utility room.
Yeah.
Or he just doesn't need to know it's there.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully he won't know it's there. Yeah, it's a utility room. Who has a bathroom in the utility
room?
Who
has a bathroom beside the laundry?
Yeah. But, so we're definitely going to try to put that theory to the test soon. Amy, I would imagine, will hate us for it and be mad at us.
Oh, sure.
But it's for science.
Yeah, it's a science
experiment.
This is a hypothesis.
It's a science experiment that needs to happen. Yeah.
Yep.
I will be giving a full detailed report of my findings after.
Do you want to know what happens when you marry somebody that has kids already?
I don't want to know that, but tell me anyway.
Well, here's what happens.
Okay.
For the foreseeable future, every time their youngest child, or y'all's youngest child at this point.
Yeah.
Has a duke that blocks the toilet.
Right.
Mom is there to fix it.
Right.
Until summer rolls around and you're just a measly old teacher. And now you get to be here.
You get to fix it.
And within 24 hours of summer break, there's a turd that's blocking the toilet.
Yeah.
And then I have to go in there and figure it out.
The kid needs help. He's laying deuces as big as he is.
Dude. This one wasn't that bad in terms of gigantic. It was just, it clumped up, okay?
Yeah.
And so it didn't go down the drain. So I had to get in there and break it up. And I was like, I had to prepare myself because it's been a minute since I've dealt with another child's duke.
Right. So
my children, when they were little enough, right, I dealt with their dukes.
Right.
I never really had to do that after they turned 6 or 7 or something like that. Like I never, and that was 5+ years ago.
Right. There is something to be said about the way you handle your biological kids' dukes. You can handle it.
It's one thing.
These are your kids.
Yep.
You are going to love them despite what their diaper's doing. So you get in there, you do it, and you can handle it.
Yeah.
It's dealing with other kids that I had nothing to do with making them. It's their dukes and like dog dukes.
Yeah.
That I don't want to deal with.
Yep.
You know?
Well, so that's fair. There's a component there of a lack of familiarity. That's all it really is. It's like, I didn't change your diapers, dude.
Right.
You know? So I'm not familiar with what I'm walking into.
Right.
And so it's a... Man, I tell you what, dude. Unclogging that boy's turds.
Yeah.
is something that I know I'm going to have to do.
Right.
And I knew I was going to have to do it, but fortunately for the in the first year, I didn't really have to. Lauren was able to do it, like, I'd say 100% of the time up until this summer.
Right.
And so he told me, you know, Pops, the toilet won't flush. And I was like, all right. So I walked him in there. I said, here's what we got to do. I made it a teachable moment.
Oh, good.
Now, I don't trust that he'd be able to do it his first go.
Right.
So I know I'm going to have to be in there supervising the first few times.
Some supervised breakups.
Yeah,
sure. Let me tell you what my favorite part about James clogging the toilet when y'all weren't there was.
Okay.
Going, all right, put the seat down, and when your mom gets here, she'll fix it, knowing where the key to your bedroom was if I had to go. Yes. I was good.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going in there and breaking that kid's turd up. That's going to be gross.
I hear you.
But put the lid down.
Yeah.
Your brother and sisters are going to be mad at you because now they can't use the potty until mom gets home.
Yeah.
But I can.
So
I have the key to your parents.
So here was my mental process going through that, okay? The first few times I would hear about it and Lauren would go do it, I was dry heaving in my mind.
Yeah. Real ones.
So no, just dry. Just getting myself like that's gross, you know?
Yeah.
And so then the mental stage I had to overcome whenever he came up to me and it was, I don't know, 9 a.m., 10 a.m., when I knew everybody was going to have to be in the house and potentially use the restroom. Mom was at work till 4 o'clock or whatever time.
Yeah.
I had to be like,
yeah.
All right. I just had to like just swallow the thought, literally, of dry heaving and just go in there and take care of it. And when I got in there and took care of it, it was no problem. It didn't, I mean, it really didn't affect me, but I had to overcome the, I'm about to go mess with turds right now.
Yeah, we psych ourselves up for it to be super gross. Have I ever told you the first diaper I changed to Riley's?
No.
He's brand new. His mother was somewhere. My buddy Greg was in town. So Riley's mom and Greg's then wife, they were out doing something. I don't know. It was just Greg and me at the house with Riley. He blows his diaper out. Ugh. And I'm like, oh. So I look at Greg and I'm like, man, I haven't changed one of these yet. I've changed pee.
Yep.
I have not done the baby Duke.
Yep.
And he goes, got to do it now.
Got to do it now.
And you're on your own.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So I went back to my room. I put Riley in his little bassinet. And I run back to my room, and I get everything that I can find to wrap around my face. Brother, I'm not kidding you.
I know.
So I've got something around my face that's tight, and then I put a bandana around. I look like a bandito, and I was about to rob a bank back in the Western times.
Nice.
Look like a nice little bandit.
Nice.
And so I walk in there and I'm ready. I can't smell a thing. Sights are still bad, but we're gonna get this done real quick. So he is kicking his legs around.
Okay.
While I'm, you know, cleaning him up, and I'm not anywhere near done.
Yeah.
Still a mess. And he's kicking his legs, and I bend over, like lean over, and his toes grab my bandito napkin.
Pull it down.
Pull it down.
Oh, yeah.
And I had the one tight one, and I had the bandana, and it pulled both down to expose my nose.
Uh-huh.
Took a big old of it and realized, oh, I didn't puke.
How about that?
I can do this.
How about that?
Greg is laughing because I'm giving him a play-by-play the whole time. Ah!
Yeah.
Pulled my napkin down. You know, so we get through it.
Yeah.
We psych ourselves up, man.
No, badly.
I think the minute we stop thinking about it before we go do it.
Yeah.
We realize it's not that bad.
Yeah. It's something that's got to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
But still not messing with James's bricks.
Dude, I hear you.
I can't.
So there was one time Maddie was in a diaper and she was, I don't know, three or so or two. I don't know. However old it is before she potty trained or whatever, I don't remember how old she was, but she was playing in the front room, and she went. And she didn't come tell me or anything. She just kept playing, and I went and checked on her here and there and walked through the house and whatever, you know. And I didn't smell nothing.
Right.
Well, she comes to me, and I'm just like, this is, like, the diaper's full of pee, right? Clearly. Well, it also had been full of Duke for, like, an hour or something. And she's sitting on it. Dude, it was caked, like, flattened on her butt.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and, I mean, I had to, I bathed her.
Yeah.
To get this off.
Yeah.
To, like, chip it off, like paint, like paint chips.
Yeah.
And, I felt so bad, like I had neglected her or something. Right. But when I checked on her, she was just happy as could be, and she just was playing around, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I didn't smell a thing. It was one of those that I guess either she was in a room big enough to where the smell just kind of evaporated or dissipated or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just didn't smell. No alarms.
Right. Now, the worst thing, I did puke one time. When he was a little older, his mom was now going back to work. Mm-hmm. So I was working nights. Mm-hmm. And so during the day, I was with him.
Yeah.
Riley was real good when he was a baby, as far as sleeping through the night, sleeping late.
Yeah.
You give him his, you wake up at 7 or 8, give him his milk or whatever. He's falling right back asleep for another 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
Like, it was great. Like, he's basically been the same way for almost 17 years now, because that's what he does now. Gets up, drinks a glass of milk, and goes right back and passes out.
Yeah.
But anyways, so wake up, give him his first milk. He goes right back down. I go back to bed and wake up a couple hours and walk in to the wet runs all over him, pouring out of his diaper, all over the bed, on the walls. And I walked in, and I don't think it was necessarily the smell that got me, but it was seeing
it everywhere.
Duke all over him.
Yeah.
Like, on his face. And he's just happy as can be. He has no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
But now, not only am I clearing your diaper, I got to go give you a bath. I got to do the sheets. I got to wash the walls. Yeah. I got to get Duke off the whole house.
Yep.
Like, and that's how it made me feel. Like, even though, like, even when I was done, you swear you see it other places.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
100%.
But first thing we did, get him in the bathtub and the Duke water. That was round two for me.
You puked twice.
I puked twice.
Oh, no.
Like, the first time, like, right when I walked in, I went, ugh, and then went in.
Yeah.
And then the Duke water. Because the Duke water's touching you. You know what I mean? You're having to, like, scrub this kid, and he's kind of sitting in his chair in the bathtub. And he's just kind of, and I'm like, and then had to, hang on.
1 second. Don't drown in your own Duke water.
To a less than 1-year-old. Hang on real quick, and then go puke in the, the Duke and puke is the worst.
Dude, it's,
Have you ever... You probably have.
Yeah.
I have.
Okay.
An actual Duke and puke.
Yourself?
Yeah.
So, I mean, were you sick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah. That's the worst.
Yes, that's bad.
But the magic of...
Do you remember Julian Wyatt?
I do.
Happened at her house.
Really?
Yeah. So, when I was 20 or something, we dated for, I don't know, 3 months or something.
That's a long time.
And I went to her house. She had she got some, let's just call it Olive Garden to go or something. And I ate whatever it was that I ate affected me that night. And
that
I ended up staying at her house, which wasn't normally the plan, and or maybe ever the plan. And I was in and out of the bathroom, and her parents, great people.
Oh, yeah.
took care of me like it was like I was Josh, you know, Julian's older brother. So, but I was on the toilet because I was like, oh, I gotta go, and then I didn't even have a feeling that I was gonna throw up.
Yeah,
and it just happened.
Yeah,
like normally, if I have a throw up feeling, I can control it or settle it down.
Yeah,
and or maybe delay it, right? This one, I didn't even have a feeling. It came straight up all over the floor, and I tried to clean up or I called for Julian or for her mother or whatever, and I was like, I got a situation in here. I ate something bad or something's happening. Yeah. And she's like, I'll take care of it. Like, Julian's mom was like, I'll take care of it.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I did what I could, but she's like, you go lay down. I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
And so, anyways, but it was rough, dude. To my knowledge, I haven't had that again. It's either one or the other.
I think it's only happened to me one time.
Oh, so bad.
But the one time that it did happen, I was married to Riley's mom, and I used the guest bathroom as my bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I gave her, like, you can have this bathroom. It had a big old garden tub, a walk-in shower. It was a nice. I was like, you know what? You make this yours. There's nobody using this one up here. I'll use it. So if you got a shower, I got a shower at the same time. We're getting things done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So her trash receptacle in that bathroom had to have a bag because it had holes.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when this happens, there was no bag.
Oh, no.
In the trash receptacle.
Oh.
So when I grab it to start puking,
yep.
I'm not even paying attention.
Yeah. Why would you?
Going in.
Yeah.
And it's coming out all over me. Oh. It was the worst.
Yeah, horrible.
The
absolutely
worst
horrible.
Puking Duke probably known to man. Like, I probably had the worst ever.
I mean,
I don't know.
My mom was pretty bad.
I mean, it
was like 20 years ago, but mom was pretty bad.
I mean, I'm sure it was, but the trash receptacle having holes in it and me not having...
I didn't even have a chance to get to like lean over into the tub
right.
or to find a trash receptacle. Mine happened so instantaneously whenever the puke started happening
right.
that I just leaned over and it was all over the floor wall. Like,
yeah,
I had no reaction time to this because I didn't even expect it to happen.
I probably would have...
I think it's because I got a whiff of the Duke... And that triggered the puke, and I wasn't anticipating that there was something wrong in me.
Right.
Right?
I just didn't, you know, you're going through that. You don't have the wherewithal to take a look at the trash receptacle and go, probably yep. shouldn't puke in this.
Yep.
You're just going.
You don't have the time.
But I did not have the, I did not have the luxury,
yeah.
if that's what you want to call it,
sure.
of having a bathtub right next to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because in this bathroom I was in, you know, you had the sink up against the wall, the toilet next to it, and then across the way was a walk-in shower.
Okay.
And then the garden tub right next to it. So I would have had to get up.
Kind of launch yourself towards.
Toward the shower.
Either one of them, but yeah.
But there was no way to make it without any sort of mess.
Yeah. Like there was going to be a Duke mess
there was either,
or a puke mess.
Yeah. So
one mess or the other.
Pick your poison, brother.
Oh, no.
You know?
Dude, so bad.
So the puke into the holy trash receptacle
yeah.
was the decision made.
Dude,
you know?
All this, doesn't it give you a different perspective that you, at one point in time, did this to your dad? You caused your dad and or mother... to have to go through this. You clogged the toilet and made either mom or dad have to unclog it or teach you how to unclog it.
Yeah.
You duked the diaper, probably rubbed it all over yourself because you were 1 year old, had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
And they had to put you in the Duke water to figure it out.
I've never looked at it from that perspective.
You made your dad and or mother, probably mother, but your dad probably was with you one time when it happened.
Right.
Your dad had to do it to you.
So
your parents had to do it to you.
I've never thought of it from that perspective because dad never told stories like that.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Don't you wish he would have?
Yeah, if they were funny, yes, I want to know.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, I want to know. But I think, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and give myself the benefit of the doubt, that it didn't happen because he didn't have stories to tell.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because I guarantee you know my dad.
Okay.
You know my dad very well.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
If there is a funny poop or fart story,
he's on it.
He's on it.
He's either giggling along with it uncontrollably.
Right.
Or he's contributing to it.
Yes.
For sure.
So that leads me to believe, since I have never heard any kind of story like I just told about Riley from my dad.
Yeah.
It never happened.
I don't know, man. You just probably didn't ask.
Okay, so listen. I am going to ask my mother.
Did you ask after it happened with Riley? Did you ask dad? Did this ever happen to me?
No, I didn't even think to.
I didn't either.
I didn't even think to. And I'll tell you why. I think we were born in a time where the dads may not have assisted
as much. Yeah.
As much as dads assist now.
That's probably true.
Moms were the homemakers, so they were dealing with.
But you know they help with the toilet.
98% of the diapers was.
I mean, if we clogged the toilet, it probably was not mom unclogging.
Oh, it's definitely dad.
Right.
Yeah, unclogging.
So definitely the logs that didn't flush.
Right.
Dad took care of.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know you had some of those.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Did your dad ever say anything?
No, I never asked.
Okay, was that his humor?
100%.
Okay.
Dude, so I'm telling you, there's times when he was just sitting around farting, and I was picking up on how the fart happened and the vibration of the cheeks, which is essentially how the noise is made.
Listen, I don't want to think about Ronnie's cheeks vibrating.
You don't want to think about this other thing that happened at the house. Remember when you stayed with me?
Uh-huh.
This was before you stayed with me, I think. But I'm just laying on the floor, okay? And my dad, this is my dad's house.
Yeah.
Which means he's comfortable in this house.
Yes.
Which means he's going to walk around this house however he wants to walk around this house.
Oh, brother. I'm scared.
He never walked around, to what I ever saw, stark naked.
Okay.
Okay? Never did.
Yeah.
But regularly walked around with just a towel around his waist.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. I think all dads do that.
Well, I mean, I don't.
Or some tidy whities.
Right? Well, I got girls.
That's because you have 18 daughters at the house.
That's true. So there's nothing that I got that they in any way, shape, or form ever need to see.
Right.
And that's waist up, waist down. That's any part of this other than my face and hands. Okay? Right. Like, that's it. So
barely get the feet.
Right. So I'm laying down on the floor in the living room. And my dad comes walking down the stairs in his towel and steps across my face to go to the couch to sit down. Was I laying down sleeping on the floor? No. I was in the middle of talking, giggling with mom or my brothers or whomever was
laying
in there.
Face up.
I was laying face up, counting the popcorn on the ceiling or something. And he steps directly across my face.
On purpose.
Well, I don't know if it's on purpose, but that was the That was the closest direction to his seat that he takes on the couch. Dude.
It had to have
been. I'm gonna tell you something.
On purpose.
You want to talk about close to puking.
Oh, bro.
Right?
Yeah. I will say this, Don Walker's humor didn't extend that far.
Well, I don't know if he did it on purpose.
Had to.
I mean,
if he's stepping over your face, when he could have stepped over your legs.
Could have walked around.
Could have walked around.
Yep.
This dude stepped over your face in a towel on purpose. And that is a heel.
You will die? You're going to die on that hill?
I'm willing to die.
I mean, and knowing. If he did it on purpose, then that's his humor.
Knowing.
For sure.
No, that's what I was about
to
say.
He's got toilet humor for sure.
Knowing Ronnie's sense of humor,
yeah,
as I did, he did that on purpose.
That's okay. I mean, maybe.
Okay. I don't understand, and this is not a knock to anybody that doesn't have fart humor.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Farts are funny.
Farts are funny.
Farts are hilarious.
If you can't laugh at a fart, then you got something going on with you that you need a mental professional to help you with.
Man, you and I dated a booger flicker one time.
It's different times.
That's yeah, different times, but there was a booger flicker and booger roller and flicker in our history, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was one time
that makes sense because at one point in time we were booger measurers,
brother. Have I ever told you about the dog that ate boogers at my
Yeah, you did.
That was a weird dog. So we were talking about my dad's. I think it was when my mom was here. We were talking about dad's sense of humor, and somehow boogers came up, and it was Daniel and Amy might have been there, and Amber and Julie and my mom, and man, I had that one. I had that story in the chamber,
yeah,
and just could not pull the trigger. Listen, I don't even know why. I don't know if it was for my mom's sake, because my mom loved that dog so much.
Oh, yeah.
That if she knew what that dog was doing, it would upset her.
Devastated her, yeah.
I did not know how Amber would react to that, which was scary. So I'm going to save that for another time down the line.
Yeah.
When more comfort is there.
When you're farting in front of each other.
Right.
That's right.
So,
I mean, if we're just talking about, hey, whatever you take away from this episode, this will be the first one.
Listen.
Right?
Adam and Josh fart.
Make sure we fart, and if, you know, if you're picking somebody,
yeah,
make sure you can fart in front of them.
Right. Yeah, know? That's all I ask. Just be comfortable around me. If you're comfortable around me, it's
rip kind of, one.
Life is good.
Just rip it and
rip
go.
It. Yeah, rip it and go.
Yeah.
But
maybe grip it.
But there,
you know,
okay,
grip
so,
the arm of the chair.
So there
and
is,
take a rip.
So there is fart humor. There is fart humor present.
Yeah.
With Amber, because she was making the slideshow that I messed up.
Yes.
At the funeral on accident. Sorry, Hope family, and especially Amber.
Yes.
But while we are making this, or while she's making this slideshow, she could not figure out that on Canva, you can't just take a song off Apple Music and plug it in. Oh, that's not how it works. That's not how Apple Music
works. You
got to
have the file.
You had to have the file.
Yeah.
So I'm not assisting in the slideshow. I am just sitting there for support, comfort, and I'm just there.
Yeah.
Conversations are being had. Whatever, and she's getting frustrated that she can't figure this out. And so I finally tell her, I said, you can't do that. You have to have a file.
Yeah.
I said, if you would like, send me the playlist, send me the songs that you want, and I will go over to the house and I will make files. Yeah. I will grab the music. I can do it real quick. I can edit it real quick.
Yep.
And send it back over. And I was over, so she's like, okay, cool. So she sent me the songs. I came over here. I might have been over here for 5 to 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Got them all, had them all emailed, and walked back over. And she goes, oh, that was quick. She goes, how did you do that? I said, oh, you just go on YouTube and rip it.
Yeah.
And she goes, you rip it, huh? You went over to the house to rip one.
Yeah.
You know, kind of. So there is fart humor.
It exists.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I could have told you it exists.
So the door,
back in high school, she laughed at a good fart joke.
Oh, good.
So it exists.
Speaking of a good fart joke, we brought up the booger flicker.
Yeah.
we were on a road trip. I call it a road trip. We were driving to San Antonio from Dallas with father and mother booger flicker. Right?
Okay.
And I told a good fart joke. A good one. Okay. I still tell it to this day and laugh at myself when I hit the punchline. It's still funny. So anyways, I'm telling this joke and I get to the punchline and I laugh and not one person laughs with me.
Ugh.
And I was like, and Father Booger Flicker says something along the lines of, yeah, I just don't find that funny at all. I don't find farts funny or poop funny. I just don't see the humor in it. I don't think it's funny. So it was an awkward rest of the trip down, right? So first stop when we got to San Antonio was to my parents' house for dinner. We were down there for the annual lectureship.
Okay.
Right? And we were staying at my parents' house. I think I was. I don't know where Booger Flicker was staying, whatever. It doesn't matter. But get to my house. It's dinner time. My dad's in front of me. We're talking. I said, I got a joke for you. And I proceeded to tell my joke again.
Yes.
For my dad, for my mom, whatever other preachers were there. Booger Flicker, mom and daddy Booger Flicker. Kenny may have been there.
Okay.
And tell the joke. Get a laugh from everybody. Even my mom.
Even?
Nope.
Mom and dad Booger Flicker stayed stoic.
Stayed stoic.
Okay.
Still did not appreciate it. But I wanted them to know.
It's a funny joke.
Far too funny.
Yeah. For sure.
Considering who you ask.
Okay, so I know we've probably gone on quite a bit longer than you've anticipated, but
this is good. Keep going.
So
we're at an hour and 18 minutes.
So you remember David Lamb?
Oh, yeah.
At the funeral, we reconnected, been 20 years.
Did you get his phone number, by the way?
No, I didn't.
Oh, we should have. I'll get it from Paul on Wednesday.
So Paul.
Uh-huh. Paul is a great dude.
Awesome.
I love Paul.
Me and Jesse Beeson.
Yes. I know this story.
Went to Grand Teton National Park.
Yeah.
And we met the Harris family down there.
Okay.
Because the Harris family, Scott Harris and Jesse Beeson were really close.
Time out. You got the invite with Paul from Beeson, probably because they did not want to take the hopes anymore and get those fake citations.
That well,
is a hilarious story.
I got the invite from Beeson.
Yeah. Himself.
Himself. Yeah. And I think Paul just kind of corroborated. This is going to be fun. It's a great little experience.
Right. Okay, so go.
And so on the way home.
Okay.
We're driving through Colorado, and Paul rips one.
Yeah.
And he's in the back seat. I'm in the front seat. Jesse's driving.
Okay.
And Paul, I either smell it or hear it or something. I don't remember what happened. But I look back and I get this smirk from Paul. Like, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Of course, I'm in my early 20s. I might have been 19, 20. Like, I might have been, like, right in 20s.
Right.
And I was like, game on.
Oh, yeah.
Game on. No Crohn's at this time. Trusted every fart that came out. It was a beautiful time.
Yeah.
So I respond. I respond with something. Whether it was loud, whether it was silent, whether it was smell, I don't remember which one it was. But I look back at Paul and be like, there you go, brother. Nonverbal. Nonverbal, right. And so he goes again and I go again over the course of 20 minutes or something like this. I mean, it's hard to just summon one, right?
Yeah,
without duking yourself.
Yeah.
So Jesse gets wind of us giggling and gets wind of the smell and everything. And he said, I don't think what y'all are doing is funny. Because when you get to be my age and it's a problem, it's not funny. It's a problem. And I was like, all right.
Yeah, yes it is.
I will always be laughing at this. I didn't tell him that. I maintain some respect of the elder. You know, he's an older guy. Like, I maintain some respect of the guy who brought me on this trip and be like, all right, you know, we'll calm it down. But I will always be laughing at fart humor.
I will be Jesse Beeson's age at that time, still laughing at fart jokes. My dad died laughing at fart jokes.
They're funny.
They are. They're funny.
So funny.
I don't know. I've never dissected why farts are funny. Is it the sound? Is it the smell?
I think it's the spontaneity of it.
Is it the reaction that you get out of others when you rip a good one? Is it the reaction that you get when you accidentally rip one in front of people that you don't mean to rip, like Lauren?
Yeah.
Turning around to shoot the gun and says, brr.
Yep.
It's awesome.
It was hilarious.
Do not be embarrassed about that.
No.
I'll tell you a funny story. Before I got married, Larissa's family is from Arkansas. And so every summer they would go up to the Ozarks in Arkansas, float the Buffalo River. It's a good time. I think they had property up there or whatever. And so the first night we're there, Larissa and I are not married at this point.
Okay.
And I have only met her parents, brother, and her dad's brother and his family.
Okay.
Because they lived in San Antonio. All of the Arkansas folks, I had no idea who they were. Okay? Okay. So this is my first time meeting them.
Yes.
Okay. In true Walker form. And I am giving this to my entire family.
Okay.
We have a form.
Okay.
But in true Walker form, we are grilling
a
bunch of people out in this big, like, open courtyard, grassy courtyard, whatever, where you could do volleyball and all this stuff at a campsite. We're grilling, and they tell me, hey, you can sit on that cooler. And there are chairs everywhere, whatever, and I walk up, and they're like, yeah, just sit on the cooler right there. So I go, okay, you know, that's cool. So I'm sitting there, and I'm eating or whatever. Well, I'm sitting on one of the main coolers where all the drinks are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So Larissa's uncle walks up and says, hey, Adam, can I get into this cooler and grab a drink real quick? And I said, yeah. So I put my plate down and I put my drink down. And you know how you're sitting kind of low on a chair. I'm about to.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to do one of these.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like where your butt's in the air or whatever.
Yep.
Well, when I did that.
You ripped.
I said.
Yeah.
And I just kind of froze. And that uncle looked at me and goes, are you serious? And I was like, I said, well, I wasn't, but now I am. I was like, I apologize. And he goes, you didn't do that on purpose? And I was like, no. He goes, I don't find that funny at all. And you just did that all over the cooler that has the drinks. I said, well, do you still want one? I said, if not, I'm going to sit back down.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so he kind of like made me feel like an idiot, but I was trying to equally make him feel like an idiot afterwards.
You right.
know, after he like tit for tat kind of thing. I said, well, do you want a drink or not? Because I'm going to sit down, like grab it if you want. Like if you want me to grab it for you, like I will definitely put my head in the cloud of fart if you want me to. And grab you whatever.
That was my fart.
So you don't have to.
That's right.
You know, so I'm trying to ease. So then I turn over and I don't know Larissa's parents' humor at this point, you know, but I look over. And mom, who I love to this day, Carol is cracking up.
Oh, laughing. She's dying.
Oh, I'm like, okay, good. I'm in.
That's good.
I can't remember what Kevin was doing, but I didn't care because Carol was dying. Because
mom was going.
Oh, yeah. So
mom was rolling.
The appreciation of the misplaced fart, you know, was there and it was funny.
Yeah.
And it made me feel better. And it made me feel less of a jerk for being a jerk to this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Who made me feel like a jerk.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like you farted on purpose.
Yeah, like I
did. No,
yeah.
I didn't.
Like my first time meeting, I wanted to be like, dude, my first time meeting you and I'm going to fart in your face.
Yeah.
Like really? It was an accident.
Yeah, yeah.
Like my bit. My
y'all didn't give me a chair.
My bit. Yeah, y'all told me to sit on these drinks.
Yeah, yeah.
You're bad. But yeah, dude, we're going to die. Happy men.
Yeah, yeah.
Laughing at fart jokes.
Yeah. I have a feeling that, you know, when the methane leaves your body when you die, it's going to create an intent, like an instant smile on my face post rigor mortis.
So you're going to go into paradise with a smile on your face.
Because the methane methane exiting my body is going to create a fart sound.
Dude, let me tell you something.
And I'm going to laugh.
I stumbled across a video one time of a They poked a needle into a cow.
Okay.
And then they lit it on fire. And I had
dead cow?
No.
Okay.
Live cow.
They lit the hole on like the
So it was and this is apparently because I did some research afterward because I was so intrigued by what was happening.
Okay.
But they had this needle and it's like a needle that you pump air into a basketball.
Okay.
Right? So it's got a hole and then it comes out and it's got a bigger hole at the top.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so they jam that thing down in that cow, and I don't know if they usually light it on fire, but in this video, that's what it was. They like, psh, and I was
like a torch.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, what is happening here? So then I started researching, and they were releasing all the methane.
Like there was a buildup or something.
Yeah, there's a methane or fart buildup that was hurting this cow, and apparently it happens all the time where they just. And let it all out.
One of the four stomachs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's what I found it cool, first of all.
Okay.
Because I've always wanted to see in person a fart lit on fire.
Okay.
So now I'm watching a cow, like, and it's not a natural fart, but it's still methane from the cow
right.
being lit on fire, and it was cool.
Yeah.
So here's what I wonder now, and I want to try to see if I can get a live answer to this.
Okay.
When they jam that needle down in there, and they're letting the methane out.
Yeah.
Without lighting it on fire, does it smell like a fart?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it would, because it hasn't gone through all the channels.
Right.
But
I still want
to
find out.
I imagine that there is a sulfur type of smell to it to some degree.
Yeah. I want to find out. I want somebody who owns, if you, any of you own cows and you've had to do this, please invite me to your...
If you've had to give a methane release operation to one of your cows.
Yeah, call me so I can come to the next one.
Yeah.
Just to take a whiff.
Don't light it on fire. Just let me see if it stinks.
You're right.
Or has a smell.
And do not have a holy trash receptacle for me waiting. Have one that will hold what I'm about to do when I do smell.
Just have a pig pen nearby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that I can puke into. Because I know I'm going to.
Oh, dude.
Especially because my idiot self will definitely get too close, and it's going to, like...
Oh, it's going to overwhelm.
On my face. Yeah. It's going to get on me.
Yeah, yeah. Is it on me?
And that is what's going to make me puke.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
well, because I mean, you were wanting to see if there's a smell.
Yeah, it's purely for science.
This is all science. We are having a scientific, just hypothesis of an episode right now.
Yeah.
Will Mac puke at the sound of making mac and cheese? Will a methane release in a cow
smell like
have a fart smell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And will it make me puke?
That's right.
Stay tuned. Y'all are gonna have to listen
intently
to more episodes, because I will not, when I do this research, mm-hmm. and I write my thesis and my findings, and submit it to the science journals, mm-hmm. I will not be letting y'all know that it happened. I will not tease that portion of the episode. You just gotta listen.
You gotta just listen to it. You gotta figure it out.
You gotta listen every week to see if Adam's findings were factual or not. Do you want to go with me?
Yeah. I mean, if you stumble upon an operation that you know is happening,
yeah,
and if it's within a decent simple drive, sure.
Yeah, I'm sure we could. I bet we could go out to church with your mom and find somebody who will let us come out and mess with their cows.
That's fair.
Mess with your cows in a good way, not a gross.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just methane farts and stuff. Anyways, we're at an hour and a half. We did good. I love these long episodes, dude. Don't.
Okay,
I know you might get in trouble for being home late, but I mean, it is what it is. Might be, Lauren. I love you. Anyways, like, subscribe, share, do all those things. Happy Father's Day to Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. I'm going to release this on Father's Day, so hopefully you hear this. Hopefully you listen this far into it.
Yeah.
And Josh and I will be back in a few weeks to record some more.
Yeah, man.
To entertain y'all.
It'll be good.
All right. Peace out.